Thanks, Joe, for the Bible reading. My name is Pastor Tom, and I'll be continuing with 2 Corinthians chapter 11, the second part of it. If you're online, I would like to welcome you as well, and you can actually go get the build sermon through gracepoint.org.au/go/build sermon. Let's bow our heads. Dear God, help us today to listen to your word. Your word which is full of richness and wisdom. That shape our hearts, our minds, as we love your people. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. In October last year, Jeff Bezos tweeted this message. Listen and be open. But don't let anybody tell you who you are. This was just one of the many stories telling us all the ways we were going to fail. And this was a reference to a cover story from a newspaper article that was published in 1999. And if you don't know who Jeff Bezos is, he's the founder of Amazon. Then Elon Musk, owner of Tesla, tweets Jeff with a little picture, just a little picture. And this picture was a silver medal with number 2 on it. So you might ask, that's a really weird text or emoji. What does it mean? It's referring to Jeffrey being number 2, and he's number 1 as the richest person in the world. Yes, bragging rights between 2 billionaires on Twitter. Boasting and bragging. Like it or not, it's everywhere. We all hear it and see it and do all kinds of boasting. In a subtle way, or just out front in your face. We get parents that boast about their children, especially those aunties, you know, on the table or playing mahjong, or they boast about their children doing well at school. Oh, like my son is going to study law. In fact, he's at Sydney U. Or it could be a very subtle way. Yeah, my son did okay at school, but he's going to study law only. It's okay. Some people might do it in your face, or not in your face, or not so directly. But it's on Facebook, Instagram, and TikTok. The picture we post in the places we went, or the food that we are eating, or even where we are working. It's all in the media. How nice, how great it is. Gets all those likes and subscribes and comments and how many views you are getting. And sometimes it's not bragging. You know, sometimes we just do it because we just want to express where we are, how we're going. And that's cool. But we know some people do use this media platform to boast about themselves, like Elon Musk. He's number 1. Directly or indirectly, people like to boast about themselves. It's just in different ways. And this is what we see in today's passage, with all kind of boasting. It's on the outline. 3 points. First point, boasting about the worldly things. Second point, Paul boasts about himself. And third point, Paul boasts about God. Let's have a look at the first one. In verse 16 to 21, Paul uses irony to say, let's all be fools. Paul says in the letter, you think I'm a fool? Well, it means we are all fools. I'll show you the reason. I will boast as much as those super apostles. In verse 18, Paul talks about boasting in the world. And this was also discussed in chapter 10, First Freedom 4, where Paul tells the Corinth church that they shouldn't be playing the game of the world. The world loves to play the power game, wanting people to take their sides, winning people over to them. The more people who follow a person, the greater the power and the advantage that person has. The world loves to compare with one another, to outbeat others, to run over others, to be on top. And we need to remember, Paul has been compared with those super apostles. Paul has been attacked by people who are saying he is weak, that he has nothing to admire about. He's not telling them what they want to hear. Since Paul wasn't being paid to preach the gospel, he was mistaken to be not good enough to be paid. His preaching does not persuade people. It doesn't entertain people. There was a lot of serious doubt about Paul's ability and his message. And in chapter 10, Paul responds by saying, he's not going to play the worldly game. It's what he knows, which is far more important. Because Paul doesn't see there's anything to compare to. There's no reason to compare with anyone or him. It's a foolish to get into a comparing contest of any of those super apostles. But today's passage, it seems like Paul has given up, which is not the case. But in fact, Paul is having a go at them, is having a dig at them. The Corinth church are telling others to listen and follow the super apostles in verse 19 and 21. Paul is saying to them that they think they are wise, but in fact, they are fools. They're enslaved by their teaching, enslaved by the worldly thinking, enslaved by Satan's world. And Paul turns the argument back to them, that the super apostle, in fact, has been exploiting them as they were paying them money to speak. Paul was saying basically the super apostles has been using them, taking advantage of them, and lying to them. They are scamming you. Paul concludes by saying, it is not him that needs to watch out for. It's those super apostles. Paul then argues with the Corinth church, has been tricked and made us fooled by the super apostles. And if they see Paul as a fool, then they should be fools together. Then they should also pull up with him as well, as a fool. But Paul goes on with his argument. Well, if you don't think what I'm saying about you guys are right, well, let me play your foolish worldly game. Then you'll see who is the most fool of all. Paul then starts boasting about himself and starts comparing himself to those super apostles. He shows who is better and more qualified, which comes to my second point. Let's have a look. In verse 21 to 29, Paul deals with those super apostles. And we need to remember, God does not approve of boasting. And this is why Paul says, this is not from God, but from his own authority. Paul's words only. But what Paul is saying is still true. Even though he's aware that such boasting is pure folly, and for him, it's really to prove a point. So firstly, Paul talks about himself. He tells his audience that he can boast too. So he boasts about where he came from. In fact, Paul boasts about his family of origin. If those people boast about themselves as Hebrews, well, he came from that line as well. He's also a Hebrew. Next, if they're from the nation of Israel, he can put his hand up as well. And some claim that they were descendants from the line of a patriarch Abraham, Father Abraham. And guess what? So was Paul. Paul got a tick, another tick, and a third tick. He got full mark. And as a student, you can't wait to tell your parents. You'll be very happy with Paul's 100% mark. Paul boasts about his family line. Hebrew of all Hebrews. Just as good as those super apostles. Or maybe even better. So if the Corinth were looking for a super apostle, a super Hebrew, don't look any further. It was Paul himself. As Haley would say, he's OG. Haley, get well. I know you're sick, but I know you love that word, OG. And I found out it means original gangster. They all should be looking at him, looking at Paul. He should take center stage. In 2008, it was a major event. I'm not sure if you guys remember this, probably pretty young. It was called the World Youth Day. World Youth Day. The Pope came and visited Sydney for about 5 days in July 2008. I think it was Pope Benedict XVI. And the theme was, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And of course, no one remembers that. No one remembers that. Because everyone was looking at the Pope. Everyone was admiring that pointy little hat that he wore and all his bishops were wearing on that day. And don't forget the Pope Mobile, which is bulletproof. He used to travel to go to the center of the stadium and waving to the crowd in the car. People then start kneeling and bowing down to kiss his hands when he enters to the stadium. He's wearing his ring or something. But it's not just the Pope. The crowd reacts the same when Dalai Lama comes and visit, or any other spiritual guru. But we ourselves can behave the same way too sometimes. We may admire and praise a basketball player, Steph Curry, who is one of the best basketball shooters going around in the NBA. Or you might admire great singers like Ed Sheeran or Tillen from Girl Generation, right? Alan, is that right? Tillen? Taeyeon. And, some people would actually wait online, not get tickets, but biscuits from her, made by her. It's true. But don't we go to those concerts? And what's happened? They are in the middle of the stage. And we worship them and we pray and we sing along with them. There are plenty of people we follow and admire for various things, like investing our money, or visiting a restaurant owner by MasterChef. It's more common than you think. So coming back to Paul, he's saying, if they want to boast about the super apostles, well, they should look at him. He was a Hebrew of Hebrew. They all should be kissing his hand. As he was the greatest, they should bow to him. Let's now go to verse 23 to 28. Paul up his ante against the super apostle. He puts a twist to his comparison to them. Now he stops boasting about his family of origin. In verse 23, Paul says, are they servant of Christ? Am I out of my mind to talk like this? I am more. Paul feels foolish or silly saying this. But this is the game he is playing in order to prove his point. They say they are servant of Christ. Well, he is one too. So Paul starts boasting about how he served like his master by suffering. He boasts about his hard work and carrying God's work. He can boast because he has suffered more. He has faced death again and again and again. He was put in prison, even flogged. People made threats to his life. And don't forget that 39 lashes he received in the synagogue for his punishment. But the boasting doesn't stop there. He continues in verse 25. Let me read it. 3 times I was beaten with rods. Once I was pelted with stones. 3 times I was shipwrecked. I spent a night and a day in the open seas. I've been constantly on the move. I've been in danger from rivers, in danger from bandits, in danger from fellow Jews, in danger from Gentiles, in danger in the city, in danger in the country, in danger at sea, and in danger from false believers. Then Paul goes, there's still more. Wait, there's still more. I can boast more. And he goes on in verse 27. I have labored and toiled and have often gone without sleep. I have known hunger and thirst and have often gone without food. I've been cold and naked. Besides everything else, I face daily the pressures of my concern for all the churches. Wow. As a super apostle boasts about their superior, Paul boasts about being a servant of Christ in his ministry. The question Paul was raising was, could these super apostles match his list of suffering incurred during the course of his ministry for God? All the pain, suffering Paul had to put up in order to do God's work. He was saying to them that he must be in the same league with them as the super apostle, or even better. They should be praising him, bowing to him, kissing his hands. And Paul was serious about putting his foot down, and he had an argument for it. But Paul had a purpose, and this goes to my last point. Paul boasts about God, not himself, but about God. Let's have a look at the next point. With all those boasting, Paul gives his final boast in verse 32. He talks about being a fugitive of King Artus in Damascus. He was a wanted man, like one of those cowboy posters, wanted dead or alive. Paul talks how important he was in some people's eyes because people helped him to escape by lowering him down in the basket from a hole in the wall. You can read this in your own time in Acts chapter 9. Surely, no one can beat him now. With all this, everyone should praise him, admire his hard work, because it's very, very impressive, right? Wrong. It's wrong. Paul turns all his boasting upside down on his head. He boasts not on his strength, but of his weakness. He boasts in God's strength as he made perfect in human weaknesses. Let's read it in verse 30. If I must boast, I would boast of the things that show my weakness. The God, the Father of the Lord Jesus, who is to be praised forever. Knowing that I'm not lying. Paul displays his weakness, his vulnerability, and his flaw. Although Paul may appear better than the super apostles, by his extreme dedication and suffering for the gospel, he is still counted as nothing. Nothing compared to Jesus and his work. Jesus' suffering and crucifixion on the cross. Jesus crucified for us on the cross. The message of the gospel, the good news, is what Paul wants people to take notice of. Paul wanted God to be glorified and for God to be praised in all things. But that's not always the case. As Christians, we can be blind as well. Let me tell you a story about me visiting Redeemer Church in New York, which one of my friends actually worked there. He handed the bulletin to me and asked me whether I could see anything different. I looked at it. I said, no, it's just an outline. And then I was thinking, I'm not an artist, I'm not a designer. It's just an outline. What will I know? And then, as a joke, I asked him, what, you use a different book besides the Bible? Because if you do, I should leave then. Then he told me, we don't publish who's speaking on the day. If you check our ones, we'll probably have my name, preaching. But Redeemer Church doesn't do that. I said, whoa, that was interesting. It's interesting. So I was curious, asking, why not? Then he told me, if people knew Tim Keller was not speaking at that church, they would drive to the next Redeemer Church to see if he's speaking there. Wow. Pretty crazy, right? Some people would do that. But it's really saying, people think the person who is speaking is more important than the message itself. The speaker was seen to be more important than the members of the church to do life together. And some people think the speaker is more important than the Bible, God's word. And we can also be the same sometimes. As we go to Christian conferences, women or men's events, do we ask, oh, who's the speaker? Is this speaker famous from overseas? Oh, then I'll go. And this is what Paul is condemning the Christian, the Corinthian church. The people were thinking the super apostles were so impressive, but they were wrong. They may even think Paul was impressive, but they were wrong too. Paul was saying he was weak. He was pathetic. He was nothing because it's not about him. The only thing that people should be impressed by is the Lord Jesus Christ. And we need to go back to chapter 4, which talks about the treasures in jars of clay. We shouldn't be focusing on the jar of the clay, which is us. We don't look at the outside, but more important, look at what's inside the jar. That's where the real treasure is. So what's inside the jar that's important? What really counts? The treasure inside the jar, inside us, is God's power. It's the message of the gospel that we have, which saves others. A message which brings salvation to people when we speak out the gospel. And that's what Paul admires. All boasting should go to God. All the glory goes to God. He sent his Son to save us from our sin, our rebellion against him. God is whom we should worship and praise and boast about. Here are some takeaway points that we can apply from God's word today. Today's passage teaches about Paul's zeal. It also raises the question about our zeal for the gospel. Are we lukewarm? Can't even bother sometimes? Our passion is to learn and grow about God. Passion to tell and spread the gospel to our friends, our neighbors. What are our attitudes to coming to Sunday church? Coming to community group? What's our attitude? How do we compare our attitude and our zeal for God versus the world, worldly things? Do we follow the commandment in the Old Testament? It says to love our God with all our heart, soul, and strength. Because we can replace that all with bit or some. We can read it as a loving our God with some of our heart, bits of our soul, little bit of our strength. Or worse, we love the world with all our heart, soul, and strength. Have you lost your first love? Have you lost the zeal in telling others about the gospel? It's something for us to really think about. Paul's zeal and passion for the gospel and God's ministry. Let the love and fear of Christ, which control Paul, also control us and inspire the zeal within us. Another point, as leaders, including myself, it's a temptation to use one's position or one's gift, such as the leader, ability, or both, to gather a circle of admirers. Such a person exercises his or her ministry in the name of Christ. But really, what's happening is an ego trip. We do it for ourselves. Doing ministry can be about us. And sometimes we aren't even aware of it. Give you some examples. Give you three examples. Number one, a leader may use his or her position to boss others around, flexing his or her muscle to make a gain or have his or her own way only. It's the leader's way or the highway attitude. Abusing his or her position and controlling others. That's obvious, but the next two are not as much. The second one, the way a person may come across can encourage people to lean on him or her all the time. It becomes a stage where it in fact becomes unhealthy. That person becomes the savior, the go-to person when someone is in need all the time. That person, that go-to person, has in fact replaced Jesus. Has replaced Jesus in our life. And I know sometimes that person may not even mean it, but it does happen. And the last example is not to get in the way of the gospel. Not to get in the way in the gospel. Don't let yourself to be in the center of attention, as some people love it. But this can be distraction. And people forget what really matters, which is the gospel, the message itself. The messenger becomes more important than the message. You must always remember, at all time, to remain humble, as the apostles were humble servant. As Jesus came, not to be served, but to serve others. And the word minister is in fact means servant. So let's serve others by putting the gospel first in our lives. Putting others first. Putting your brothers and sisters in Christ. Let's pray. Dear Father, let us boast in you and not of the world and even ourselves. We are to be humble and serve others as Christ showed us. I pray all these in Jesus' name. Amen.